I also have a big letter that Nick Chubb wrote. Well, not because you guys found the audio, so that's fantastic.
Fine, here's Nick Wright.
All right, here you go.
It is worth noting that we haven't a real story. I know we are having fun with this. It is interesting. I saw it off of Cleveland radio station and a radio host. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Probably King Carmen.
Maybe.
He's the best.
Hey, all right. Some guy doesn't know who I am, but Nick does. And I'm sure he means you as well.
The other guy.
Audio courtesy of Fox Sports 1. Happy birthday, Tone, from Nick Wright and everybody at Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, the other guy, Kevin Wilds, is that who?
Yeah, he wouldn't know
that. And then they're with Chris Broussard.
He probably wouldn't either. But Nick is I know he's a firebrand on the old social media, but he's always been wonderful to us. So I'm going to get to the Nick Chubb letter here in just a moment. But I do think it should be I think they should at least consider, or at least let it be known to him that they would consider it. I don't think that he is a competitive person. And it's weird. I would not start in week one. I think come hell or high water, he has to be unnaturally good for me to ever, ever even think, consider, whatever. It has to be something like unlike we've seen ever in a preseason, in camp, or anything like that. But I do think that that should be a possibility for him because I think that competitors want to compete. They want that opportunity. If you say absolutely not without a shadow of a doubt, are you starting? A person in real power, I could say it all I want. I don't have any power over this. But if you're a person in real power, you should not tell him, no, there's no way on earth you're starting. This is as open a QB job as you're going to find. And it's, by the way, it's not just the week one job. It's weeks 1 through 18. That's the job that's open. Now, what you get to show off, that window gets smaller and smaller and smaller as the season goes on. But this is open of a job as you're going to find. Of all the possibilities that are out there, you got four different guys, and then you have a conversation about whoever you're going to draft next year about that. It's as open a job as you're going to find over the next couple of years. This is basically a reality show for who the Browns' next starter is, and we're going to do two seasons of it. That's how it's going. I would have to tell him, hey, it's open. Go out and take this job. You're the one who's downtrodden. You're the one who's been drugged through the mud by another football team has drug your name through the mud. Pundits have drug your name through the mud. Go ahead. Go out and win this job. It's up to you. There are challenges ahead of you, and even use us against you. We passed on you 5 times. Tell me more. Show us. Show us why we were lucky to have you available to us in the 5th round. Show us why we're lucky. Go and do it. And I'd say the same thing to Dylan Gabriel about the 3rd round. As far as Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco, I mean, I think it kind of is what it is with everybody. You expect them, one of them two, to come out ahead and start week one. But I think with those two rookies, yeah, go ahead. But especially with a guy like Shedeur Sanders, because somewhere there was a misconception about where he's going to be or how good he can be, but his ceiling was going to be bigger there. So yeah, you'd think I would disagree. In reality, I don't think there's a chance in hell I would ever start in week one. There's a lot that you could do that would spike his career, but I would let him know if I actually had any real power here that, yeah, there's definitely a chance. Go out there and earn it. Show the NFL wrong,
example,
show the world wrong.
It would have to be him just looking amazing, otherworldly compared to the rest of the competition, which when you think about who the rest of the competition is, you're talking about Joe Flacco, who, despite the amazing run we went on at the end of the year 2 years ago, is already, a year and a half ago, I should say. And he, you would think he's playing his last games. Every game you're thinking about, the ending more than the beginning. Kenny Pickett, who, if this doesn't work out here, that's probably it for Kenny Pickett. Starting NFL career, might always be able to be a backup, whatever. And then the other one was a 3rd round pick that some people thought was drafted 2 rounds too soon. So if he looks great, Shedeur Sanders, it shouldn't be that hard to he's not going to have all the veteran savvy of a Joe Flacco or, he hasn't had the starts at this level, but it just in terms of arm talent and some instincts, the stuff, the rest of the stuff can come with time.
And what Charles Robinson had written, that's absolutely true. You have to be able to pick up on the nomenclature, speaking the language of your offense, knowing what levers to pull, when to pull them within your offense, and obviously gaining the trust of your teammates. And the only thing that's going to do that is doing what basically every quarterback who's ever done anything in the NFL has went out and done. Hard work, dedication, showing them that you're serious about something like this and being able to lead and get to the front and being able to lead other people. And it's not something that just happens in a day for a fifth-round guy. But I would definitely leave it open. I don't think it's any secret whatsoever about this situation. And I think he is as buried far back for week one as I could possibly do it, because I still stand, if he's not ready, if there's a shadow of a doubt and he's not ready to do it, you could spike a lot of potential right then and there in week one. Cincinnati, that is a weird situation down there. It is a desperate team in so many ways. I don't know if they're going to have Trey Hendrickson. It doesn't look like they're going to have Shamar Stewart at this juncture. It is a weird spot, but I would say that you have a chance, yes. But in reality, I don't think I would want... it would have to take so much for me to give him that chance. Nick Chubb wrote a letter to the city of Cleveland. This is probably the most I've ever seen Nick say anything in its written word. Now, you can look it up on the internet. I think we have a copy, 92.3thefan.com. And I could parse through it, but it is very heartfelt to the city of Cleveland and to the Browns fans. There were some that noticed that there was nothing, apparently there was nothing, because I've checked it over a million times. There's nothing really to the team, it seems here, about, he talks about his teammates, but to the organization or anything, like he didn't, people were wondering why he didn't thank the Browns for drafting him or anything like that, which I really think, in terms of looking for things that aren't necessarily true or whatever, I think we're being a little bit too ticky-tack there. I think that Nick Chubb knows his audience and knows who to write a heartfelt thank you to, but he writes, the city deserves a winning season every year. It's earned it. The city doesn't quit. The people never stop believing, and my brothers in that locker room will never stop fighting. Cleveland's time is now, and it's not because they are owed anything, but because resilience always wins, just like we preach every day in meetings. This isn't goodbye to what we built. It's a thank you. Maybe he means that with the organization. For the trust, the passion, and the moments that made me feel like I belonged here from day one. Cleveland, you always have a piece of my heart until we meet again. Which I thought this was a very, very, very nice thing for Nick Chubb to write, or to dictate to somebody to write or whatever, to put the feelings together, to put it out there. Because he's not a guy who's going to stand in front of a microphone and say these things. He's going to write them down because he's basically very uncomfortable in front of a microphone.
It sucks that it takes him leaving to actually get perspective from Nick Chubb for the first time. We didn't get any of this, you know, his entire career. So it sucks that it took him.
It was a little bit like you never really truly knew. You felt it, but I think it's because you felt it personally, like you liked him so much as a fan that you felt that it was reciprocal. This shows you that it goes both ways. I think he hit the audience that he needed to hit. When it comes to the organization, I know he didn't really mention anybody. And some people take that as like a shot at Andrew Berry or whatever. I don't care.
Or the Haslams. He didn't mention the Haslams either.
I'll tell you this. For him, should he not feel that way? You're perceived to be at the end of your career. You don't want to be at the end of your career. You've had something terribly unfortunate happen. You play a position that people use you like you're a dime a dozen. You're a special talent in a position that is basically a thankless job. People like you for a year, and then they just move on to something else because they're really obsessed with quarterbacks, wide receivers, and cornerbacks. They don't care as much about running backs as they should, especially in today's NFL where quarterbacks now are as bad as they've been and how long, and running backs now, you see a resurgence of the position because they're needed so badly, but they're still not paid in that way where it really comes to the respect of what it is. I think for Nick, I say, yes, use it as a chip on your shoulder. Like, this is going to be a conversation that we have all year long. You can't tell me that Browns fans aren't going to be sitting there either watching the Houston Texans opposite of the Cleveland Browns because of Nick Chubb, or checking the box score every Sunday, seeing what the Browns did, seeing what Quinshon Judkins did, seeing what Dylan Sampson did, not making them out to be villains. They had no choice in this matter. They were drafted. But also checking to see what Nick did, because I would say 9 out of 10 Browns fans are team Nick Chubb on this and think that Nick Chubb has something left in the tank and that the team should have brought him back. I think there's a lot of people who are respectful of Nick Chubb, but they go, hey, this is a business. He's 29 years old. Even the most ardent supporter would probably have to admit his best years are behind him, and they can understand it from a football position. But I think 9 out of 10 fans are going, if we're not going to be that good this year anyway, why don't we have a guy that we all love? Why are we not giving him another chance in this running back room? So I don't blame him for not saying it. I don't know if he meant to not say anything, but if he didn't, it's like, okay, I don't blame you for feeling that way. You have to put a chip on your shoulder as a pro athlete.
I just forever wonder what it was like having to having to take that huge pay cut a year ago while, you know, Deshaun's making his full money, had never endeared himself to the city of Cleveland the way that Nick Chubb did.
Mm-mm.
Nick Chubb
never will either. Let's
you know, basically raised here as a football, as a professional football player.
Uh-huh.
And yet it's like, here's a fraction of the money maybe you should have gotten because of the injury. And here are all these incentives, but we're not really going to give you the ball much. And you're maybe a shell of what you were anyway. So you're probably not going to get those incentives. I do wonder what, if Nick Chubb, who knows it's a business like anybody else, and we never really get his true feelings, how he felt about last year. Because last year was just such a mess all the way around.
Uh-huh.
Then he gets injured again. And you have these other guys making all this money, and none of them are Nick Chubb. None of them hold up to the fans of Cleveland and are in that realm like mm-hmm. Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, for so many, he's like the best they've ever seen in their lifetime.
Yes.
Especially like running back. They didn't see Jim Brown. And some of them, you know, love him more than Myles Garrett, love him more than anybody else. And yet, you know, it was a business again last year. And for the team that always was so skilled at manipulating the salary cap and the organization that was playing chess while everybody else was playing checkers. And I wonder if he felt he got played a little bit.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if he did. And I think I could understand that. The NFL is a cold business. This is part of the reason why I was so adamant. We talked about Derek Carr last Friday, and I was calling him just about every name in the book you possibly could about stupidity of if this story is even true about handing back money to the organization. I think Nick Chubb is case in point about that. NFL teams, it is a business relationship, all 32 of them. And there is maybe a little bit of a difference with some of them, but it usually happens after they retire. Like, I do want to believe, and I hope it goes this way, Nick Chubb will come back in a year or two. I hope he has a nice long career still, but it maybe comes back in a year or two, retires for the day as a Cleveland Brown, and then there is a relationship in the future where, hey, you know what? All you need to do is come back in town. Let's have you back in town. You sign an autograph for an hour. You shake hands. You're part of the fan base. People love you, and you're just invited back for the years to come. That type of thing. In these moments, in these days.
There's no doubt.
I hope that there's something like that that can be mutually beneficial. But at the time it is, like, yeah, Derek Carr, quote-unquote, handing back money to an organization when a guy like Nick Chubb has been better for the Browns than anything Derek Carr has provided to the New Orleans Saints, or I would even say the Oakland Raiders for that matter, or the Raiders in general for that matter. I think that that stands something where it's like, hey, if Nick feels that way, I can't blame him. Because at the bottom line, how much money did you get playing this sport if you weren't able to accomplish the greatest of greatness? If you weren't able to get to a Super Bowl, if because of the way that they vote for the Hall of Fame, if you're probably not a Hall of Famer, what is left for you when it comes to being able to change your lifestyle and your family's lifestyle? I can't blame Nick Chubb for this. 216-474-0092. And I don't think there's a Browns fan out there that does. Coming up at 8:22, Daryl Ryder, he's going to join us on the show. I want to ask him what he thought of the letter that Nick Chubb wrote to the fans out there. And all this talk in the Cavs might still have the brightest future in the entire East. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lyman. That coming up at 5 on The Fan.